This is NBC. How do? It's Mr. Morgan on monitor. And this is our 12th year that NBC's monitor is a thing. Rosemary Clooney joins us shortly, as will Al Capp later on. And right now it's my turn, and I want to say that it's nice you tuned in. And I want to say that our first number is King of the Road, and I want to say that Klaus Orgemann will play it. Rosemary Clooney's in New York, which is good news, but she's closing her engagement at the Americana Hotel's Royal Box tonight, which is not such good news. Earlier, when Rosemary had a few minutes, we checked our roster and found that monitor host Brad Crandall was also free. We put them side by side, and this is what happened.
Rosie, welcome to Monitor.
Thank you.
I know you're closing, for example, at the Royal Box of the Americana tonight. How much relaxing time do you do between jobs?
Not very much, because when I leave home, I like to go out and work for 3 weeks or a month, and then I like to have that much time at home with the children.
So you balance about half and half?
Yes, yes.
By the way, how are the children?
Fine. Back in school, thank heaven.
Any singers or potential ham bones among them?
They're all ham bones.
That's frightening,
isn't it? Yes, awful. But they don't sing very well.
What do you got to do with them if they decide they're going to stay in the business?
Well, I just hope they make money. You know, that's a silly answer. I would like for them to be successful, but I'll give them a crack at it. They want to do it.
Isn't it going to be pretty tough for them automatically starting out behind you?
I think perhaps it will be. I think you have a little edge of difficulty, but then that balances off, too, because they know an awful lot of people because of me.
Somebody once said that with the case of us, star performer's child, the first job is easy, and from there on, they get tougher.
That's very good, yes. I think that's very good and right to the point.
Whereas for most people, it's the other way around.
Yes. You scuffle a long time, and then finally, somebody knows.
How long did you scuffle before you became the number one?
Long time. A lot of singing and a lot of saloons, and a long time with a band. Sang with a band with my sister for 3 years. And then I recorded for about a year before I had the first hit. And then that was like stepping on a merry-go-round going 100 miles an hour.
One thing that's interested me about your long record in terms of music is that you've never stuck to any one kind of thing. You've run, if there's a gamut in the world, it's got to be between, well, let's say Tenderly and Come On to My House.
That's pretty wide, isn't it? I like that. I like to set up automatic goals. I find it's a little more difficult every year to make it, but they're there.
Who's your pet entertainer?
Mr. Sinatra. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's a magic hour when the old man comes out, Mr. Crosby. That you'll only see at Pebble Beach, but he's there.
You didn't mention any girl singers. Singers normally turn on other girl singers?
Yes, yes, they do, but not as much as fellas, obviously.
Mm.
I love Ella.
I saw a girl singer one time watching Ella work, and her attitude was one of sort of clenched teeth and envy because obviously this woman was doing things that she wanted to do and couldn't quite.
Oh, well, I think that I think there's an element of that. I think that you I think if you discount the envy, then it's a lot of sour grapes. You know, you can say I sure like her, but you know, find something wrong. But that's nutty. I envy somebody, but I envy them openly and with love.
Mm-hmm. If you had to pick a composer, who would you take of the people you've worked, the songs you've sung?
Songs I've sung? I'd go to Walter Gross. Mm. Tenderly.
And to Tenderly.
Yes.
Well, I tell you what, that would seem to be an appropriate lead, so I'll say thank you, Rosemary, for being with us.
My pleasure. Been a joy.
And you there, don't move. Rosemary Clooney singing Tenderly.
The evening breeze caressed the trees tenderly. The trembling trees embraced the breeze tenderly. Then you and I came wandering and lost in a sigh, were we? The shore was kissed by sea and mist tenderly. I can't forget how two hearts met breathlessly. Your arms opened wide and closed me inside. You took my lips, you took my love so tenderly. Forget how two hearts met breathlessly. Your arms opened wide and closed me inside. You took my lips, you took my tenderly.
Rosemary Clooney giving exactly what she's got, which in her case means warmth and feeling and plenty of talent. Other talented folks coming up right where you are now on the Monitor Beacon.
When a carnival barca become New York's most popular nighttime personality? You bet he can. Listen to Long John Neville, WNBC's Mad Captain Midnight, Monday through Saturday on 660 Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Kimberly Noteworthy, your radio critique at large. I just want to tell you that from 10 to 12 every morning, Monday through Friday, and from 4 to 5 Monday through Friday, Fortune Phone with Sterling Yates gets an A+, 12 points.
It's 18 minutes after the hour. My name is Morgan, the show's name is Monitor, the network's name is NBC, and these are the United States of America. The title of the next song is... Where Does a Man Go to Cry? Well, it becomes easy almost anywhere.
If it doesn't, try the Bureau of Internal Revenue.
Where does a man go to cry when the hurt in his heart reaches the corner of his eye? Where does a man go to cry his pride when he knows he would run right back to the one who pushed him aside? Tell me, where does a man toss his pride?
Benton on the Big M. We know that the Russians, under their new profit incentive plan, are telling salesmen to smile. It's a good idea. Maybe we ought to try the same thing here. Nah. Then they'd call the salesmen communists. Senor Sergio Mendez is back with us with Mashka Nada, which in fact has already begun. Saludos, Sergio.
Samba está animado, olho queiro em samba. Este samba que misto de maracatu, é samba de preto veio, samba de preto. Mas que nada, um samba como este é tão legal.
most of us don't like something, we grumble about it a little bit or dash off a letter of protest to the editor or to the congressman. When Monitor's expert on nothing with opinions on everything doesn't like something, he tells everybody. Al, how about New York's new opera?
The splendid new Metropolitan Opera House opened this week at New York's Lincoln Center, and the president's wife loved it, the stars, aged, cotton-picking parents loved it, and the public loathed it. And so the national campaign to revive opera in America was off to a triumphant start. The new Met is only a beginning. In the National Culture Center in Washington soon, and other opera houses are in the planning stage or actually rising in many other cities. Now, opera houses differ in only one detail from other buildings designed to house public exhibitions, such as movie theaters, ballparks, or halls suitable for wrestling bouts, Miss America pageants, and other types of cattle shows. The difference is that those are financed by private investors who hope to make an honest profit by giving the public what it wants. Now, the public doesn't want opera, not enough to willingly support it, so the public is forced to support it by means of tax-exempt donations and direct government subsidies to provide opera for the few who do enjoy it. Now, it happens that I'm one of those few who enjoy opera, but I don't cost my fellow American a cent. As far as I'm concerned, they can tear down all those publicly paid-for new opera houses and convert them into something the public really needs, such as decent housing. Because I take my opera in its purest and least painful form. I take it by ear. This gives me the beauty of opera, its sound, and eliminates the horror of opera, its acting. A recording, for instance, of Puccini love arias leaves the imagination free to soar among visions of beauty. But if you were one of the accident-prone who happened to see those two opera stars singing Puccini arias on that Sunday night TV variety show last week, I'll bet the only soaring you did was off your chair to switch to something less painful to look at, such as a documentary on frontal lobotomies. While the male opera star was pouring his heart out in a song of ungovernable passion for the lady opera star, he avoided touching her or even glancing at her, except when she deliberately bumped into him. Her attitude toward him as she poured out her song of adoration was bored contempt, and small wonder, pound for pound, bicep for bicep, she was by far the better man. Those who love beautiful music and cringe at inept and ugly acting know that opera should be heard and never seen. Those who use the public's money to put up opera houses for operas the public doesn't want to see, don't want to see opera any more than the public does. It's just that they want to be seen at the opera. And this is Al Capp speaking to you on NBC's Monitor.
Well, Al, you're almost right as usual. You made one or two slight mistakes. Of course, opera is not to be only heard. It is a synthesis of all theatrical arts. Drama, sound, music, plot, light, scenery. That's what opera was meant to be, and very often is. As for the heavily built lady, oh, Al, isn't that tough? And as for the public supporting opera, for the benefit of those few who like it, why don't we do away with the Federal Aviation Administration, which is only for the benefit of those who like to fly? Al Capp, a Monitor regular each weekend. Don't put music behind this, it's too lovely. Harold Newton, a farmer of Northfield, Massachusetts, says his cows are getting nervous. Their milk production is falling off. The reason? A bull moose joined the herd. Can't blame the moose. Probably didn't care for the girl next door. Messrs. Ferranti and Teicher. And what now, my love? We don't know what now. We know what's what. Your nationwide NBC monitor is a world of information, that's what. And in the area of Naples, Florida, people hear us on WNOG. And we also know who. My name is Henry Morgan.
Monitor, keeping a weekend vigil on the NBC radio network.
Successful reconstituting of meat proteins from mushrooms. And the new product has the texture and color of meat. And someday, they say, we may be living on synthetic meat instead of real meat. And I only hope I live long enough that they learn how to make meat out of mushrooms. More musical questions on monitor. The kind with no answers. Who can I turn to? Anthony Newley sings. And then, what kind of fool am I? The Ornadel Orchestra plays.
Can I turn to when nobody needs me? My heart wants to know, and so I must go where destiny leads me. With no star to guide me, and no one beside me, I'll go on my way, and after the day, the darkness will hide me. And maybe tomorrow, I'll find what I'm after. I'll throw off my sorrow. On a new day, but who can I turn to if you turn away? The day the darkness will hide me, and maybe tomorrow I'll find what I'm after. I'll throw off my sorrow, beg, steal, or borrow my share of laughter. With you, I can learn. Yeah.
Hello, anybody. Henry Morgan, live with NBC's Monitor. In our future, which hopefully is yours too, we'll hear from our sports desk. We'll hear from actor Bobby Morse, from Nichols and Maeve, and from Dean Martin, who sounds like this when he's singing Nobody's Baby Again. Usually sounds like he's lying down, too.
People used to call me Nobody's Baby up until I met you. People used to call me Nobody's Baby. I was feeling so blue. When you came along, my life was a song. I thought that my lonely would end. Then you went away and left me to stay in a Nobody's Baby.
Sports. CBS reached into its ranks this week and named Mike Burke president of the New York Yankees. Burke's been under fire before. He's a Silver Star winner of World War II, whose exploits were made into a film starring Gary Cooper. Monitor sports editor Len Dillon spoke to Burke, and here's the first of a two-part series.
Mike Burke, as the new president of the New York Yankees, you said one of the first things you would do is get a new general manager for the team.
Yes, absolutely, Len. That's the first order of business. We need a pro in that spot. Someone that's steeped in baseball, knows it inside and out. And that vacancy has to be filled as quickly as we can fill it.
The name of Lee McPhail, a former Yankee, has been mentioned from time to time. He's now an assistant to the commissioner. Any comment on that?
Well, Lee has to be an obvious person for us to consider very seriously. His former association with the Yankees makes him a natural, perhaps. And his wide experience in baseball is precisely the kind of thing that we're looking for.
Mike, there have been rumors, unfounded or otherwise, that some of the hierarchy in CBS are interested in selling the Yankees.
Oh, no, those rumors are entirely unfounded. Naturally, we aren't leaping with joy to be in last position as opposed to first position. But there's no panic in the streets here by any manner of means. We're in baseball to stay. We like the fact that we're in baseball. We think we have an enormously valuable franchise here in New York. And we're going to ride with it for a long time to come.
Now, on Thursday, you were at the stadium as the Yankees lost to Chicago before 413 people, I believe. It was the smallest crowd ever in the history of the Yankee Stadium, certainly since the Second World War. There have been many complaints about the stadium, the restrooms, the exorbitant prices charged for parking in the surrounding area, the lack of parking. Mm-hmm. What are your plans about that?
Well, again, this is a subject that I've got to address myself to. Certainly the one point that you mentioned is a sore one, that of exorbitant charges for parking. There are official Yankee parking lots where the parking fee is $1. Unfortunately, in the outlying areas around the parking lots that we control, there are some speculators who, on big crowd days, charge $2 and $3. And that is a sore point with us. These buccaneers that try to scalp Yankee customers by getting an extra dollar or two for parking.
Mike Burke, new president of the New York Yankees and vice president of CBS, thank you ever so much. We'd like to continue our discussion on Monitor later on. Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
The latest sports results and part two of that interview with the new head of the Yankees, stay tuned to Monitor.
Almost persuaded. Last night, all alone in a bar room, met a guy with a drink in his hand. He had baby blue eyes, coal black hair, and a smile that a girl understands. Then he came and sat down at my table, and as he placed his hand over mine, myself wanting to kiss him, for temptation was flowing like wine, and I was almost persuaded to strip myself of my pride. My conscience aside, then we danced and he whispered, I need you, let me take you away and be your man. Then I looked into his eyes and I saw it, the reflection of my wedding band. But I was almost persuaded to let strange lips lead me on. Almost persuaded, but your sweet love made me stop and go home.
Think married women should be in bars alone. At Patti Page, who some 16 years ago made musical history singing quartets all alone, by herself. That was Almost Persuaded. To this pause, which begins with, you are on the Monitor Beacon. Monitor, and if you just joined us, hello. Already said hello to the rest of the folks. The Ray Conniff Singers, singing for everybody, looking for love.
When will it come my way?
Las Vegas, which, of course, is in Nevada, which is also the fastest growing of our 50 states, Monitor reporter Candy Jones went looking for Bobby Morse, who starred in the Broadway production of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. He'll be seen soon in the same role in the forthcoming motion picture. Well, Candy caught up with Bobby, and this is how things went.
Just the other day, Bobby Morse, you were being filmed on a window washer's platform, some maybe 53 or 54 stories over New York City for your role in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Did they have a net or any protection underneath you?
No, I'm a window washer in the movie. And this was on, the Union Carbide building. I'm not sure, but anyways, it's 53 floors. But it was a window washer's rig. Now, they don't have a net at all. It's just a plain window washer's rig. And all I did was become the other window washer. And I learned how to run it, and...
Were you out there all by yourself?
Well, no, there was the other fellow who runs the other side. And you sort of let one side down, then you let the other side down, you go down the building.
Was he a professional window washer?
He was a professional window washer. I'm not, but I know now...
Oh, go on, you are too.
I could get in the union now, and I'm promised a job if things go bad, because I thought I did a pretty good job.
You mean you were really washing windows while they were filming?
I was praying is what I was doing. I wasn't really washing windows at all. I was hoping that the two little wires that hold this thing weren't going to snap, but there was no problem, and I don't have a fear of height.
Well, Bobby, on a platform like that, do they have a mesh wire or...
No, they have... What they have is a little sort of a girdle around them with a...
A hook?
A hook, which they hook on to the apparatus itself.
And well, then you all go.
That's right. That's so that if the rig goes, you go too with it. And that's to make sure you both go together. They don't want you falling separately. I never could figure out why that hook was there. Because I said, what am I hooking it to? They said, hook it to the apparatus. Well, he did explain it. And some safety thing, it has a safety thing that it does connect in some way. And this is to make sure if one thing breaks, at least you will, or one side breaks, that you will stay on the gear.
Did the studio insure you especially for that scene?
No, in fact, they said if I didn't do it, they wouldn't pay me. So, no, I'm just kidding. I asked them, I said, by the way, am I insured for that? And they said, hurry up, it's getting dark, let's get this shot.
Bobby Morris, what would you do if you were going to retire?
Well, I think Jackie Gleason said it, and I think I'll say what he says. If I wasn't an actor, I think I would shine actors' shoes.
Ah, that's how much you love it. I want to thank you so much for stopping by our Monitor microphones today, Bobby Morse, during your holiday in Las Vegas.
I believe in you.
We've been talking with Bobby Morse.
I believe in you.
Broadway and Hollywood star of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
I'll get it.
Hello, Bobby. This is Henry Morgan. Just wanted to say that at 10 minutes before the hour, the Baja Marimba Band is all set to go with the Portuguese Washerwoman. So thanks for joining us. Truthfully, I can't say that I've ever knowingly talked with anybody from outer space. Some of the people I've met sounded as though they might have been from out of this world, but I never had the nerve to ask. Nichols and May have no such trouble. Listen.
Hello, Mr. Wilkinson?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Dorothy Knight.
Oh, how are you? Can I get you a drink?
No, thank you. Ed Farber just told me you were from another planet.
Yes, that's right.
Which planet?
Mars.
Oh, really? Isn't this fantastic?
You're not drinking? How can you bear a cocktail party without a drink?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I've had three drinks already, and I don't want to slide under the table.
Oh.
Sometimes I embarrass myself.
Well, it always says from 4 to 6, but of course they go on so much beyond 6.
For hours.
I'm about ready to go out for something to eat pretty soon.
Oh, do you eat?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yes. Well, when I'm on Earth, I eat.
I mean, is this your regular body, or...
Well, no, this is just a version of my body.
Oh, what is your body like? Forgive me, you know.
Oh, it would be very hard to describe, because you have no... you know, frame of reference for...
But it's nothing resembling...
No, we look very different.
Oh, really? Isn't that amazing? How did you happen to come to Earth?
Well, I was sent on a job.
Oh, really? How do you like New York?
Oh, I love it. Well, it's so rush, 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 you know?
Yes, yes, it is rush, rush, rush. Is it like that on Mars, or do you have a quieter
pace? Oh, no, it's much quieter. Mars is a great deal more like Cleveland or Toledo.
Oh, mm. Have you been in Cleveland and Toledo often?
Well, I have been on business trips, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
This is just fantastic. What color are you?
You have no word for it. Isn't that funny?
Isn't that odd?
Yeah.
Isn't that really odd?
It's just a color that I couldn't describe.
Are you married on Mars?
Oh, yes, several times.
Oh, I see. Well, it's been awfully nice meeting you. Goodbye.
Better luck with a Venusian, honey. Just so that nobody gets the wrong idea, that was not a Martian and an Earthling. It was Nichols and May, old Monitor friends every weekend. E. Fisher has a good thing going. It's games that lovers play.
There are games that many foolish lovers play. Blindly chasing happy endings, come what may. Never caring who gets hurt along the way. Let's not play those games that lovers play. Sometimes lovers hurt each other, telling lies, acting out charades behind their smiling eyes. If you love me, darling, you must realize we can't play those games that lovers play. I'll be yours eternally. In my heart I feel our love is meant to be. It's not just to have you share one dream with me. I'm not playing games that lovers play. Sometimes lovers hurt each other, telling lies, acting out charades behind their smiling eyes. If you love me, darling, you must realize we can play those games that lovers play. Not play those games that lovers play. Scooby-Dooby.
No, somebody did it already.
That's true. It's 3 minutes before the hour on Monitor, and in Tokyo, and in London. What do you know? We note that an anthropologist is studying the Gururumba tribe who live high in the mountains of New Guinea. And the tribe until now has remained isolated, has never been exposed to any outside culture. and the anthropologist learned that the tribe lives in peace, having banned warfare as a means of settling disputes long ago. Gosh, we simply must civilize these savages. Down an old street, Nelson Riddle's arrangement of On a Little Street in Singapore. News is next. My name's Morgan.
This is Dr. Joyce Brothers. I'll be joining regulars Chet Huntley and Sander Van Oker on Emphasis, starting next Monday on NBC Radio.
The new GI Bill giving veterans a school and loan program also extended the same advantages to men and women in service. Veterans to qualify must have 181 days of active service, any part of it after January 31st, 1955. Servicemen and women must have had at least 2 years of service and be continuing in service. Under the GI Education Program, veterans and service persons may be eligible for 1 month of training in an approved school for each month or fraction of a month spent on active duty up to 36 months. Under the loan program, the veteran or service person may make a home or farm loan with a private lender and have up to 60% or $7,500 of it, whichever is lesser, backed by VA, or be eligible for a direct loan from VA in areas where such loans are permitted. So you see, VA is spreading the benefits to veterans and to servicemen. This is WNBC, AM and FM, New York. It is 9 o'clock.
This is NBC News, a typhoon disaster in Japan.
NBC Monitor, news on the hour. Here's Neil Boggs.